and welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Maria Leniak. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to musicians who were, or are, some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents 5 concerts as part of their Jazz in the Hall concert series. These events feature leading local jazz groups and are opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides the background and interesting tidbits about the live music performed that evening. Michel Legrand may be best known for his more than 200 memorable film scores, but he has worn many hats. He was a composer, arranger, conductor, and jazz pianist of the first order. He was well versed in music theory and composition, having studied them as a young man. Legrand capitalized on his many talents and education to make valuable and lasting contributions to the jazz genre. Throughout, melody remained his first love. He has loved well, creating some of the most memorable melodies in music. His career was long and fruitful, fulfilling his intense imagination and sense of wonder. Michel Legrand's music will be part of our world forever. We join Steve Gedrose live at the Old Fire Hall in Whitehorse.
Tonight, Sylvie Pinchot and her wonderful band will play music associated with Michel Legrand. I'd like to provide some background material about his life and music. Michel Jean Legrand was a composer, arranger, conductor, and jazz pianist who was born in Paris on February 24, 1932, and passed about 1 year ago on January 26, 2019, just short of his 87th birthday. He was of Armenian descent and from a family that was involved in music. His father, Raymond Legrand, a conductor and composer, was a student of famous French composer Gabriel Fauré. His mother, Marcella Tourmichaelian, was the sister of conductor Jacques Ellian. His father, Raymond, left home when Michel was 3, and his mother struggled to provide for the boy and his older sister, Christiane. He found a consoling friend in their apartment's battered piano, and it quickly emerged that he had a gift. Christiane also played the instrument and was similarly destined for a successful career in music as a jazz singer who worked as a member of the Swingle Singers. When he was 10 in 1942, Michel entered the Paris Conservatory, which proved to be an unexpected revelation. "Until then, my childhood had been flat and unhappy," he relates. "My life revolved around an old piano, and I was very bored. I was very lonely. Suddenly, when I joined Lucette Descaves' music theory class, I discovered a world that belonged to me, people who spoke my language. From then on, I felt that life had something exciting and motivating to offer." Michel became obsessed with Austrian classical composer Franz Schubert, studying his music intensely. With Nadia Boulanger among his teachers, he won a raft of prizes on a variety of instruments at the Paris Conservatory. Luckily for the jazz world, Legrand attended a 1947 Paris concert by bebop trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie's big band and was enthralled by the sound of jazz. By the time he left the conservatory in 1949, he was a budding jazz pianist with a profound knowledge of music theory and a working knowledge of many instruments. His resourcefulness quickly found him work with French chanson stars such as Juliette Gréco and Zizi Jeanmaire. At this point, Legrand started composing for some of the artists he was accompanying. His first great song, La Valse de Lilas, displayed an individual style of melodic writing, which soon became his hallmark. "I put a great deal of faith in melody," he admits. Nadia Boulanger always said, "Put whatever you want above and below the melody, but whatever happens, it's the melody that counts." Legrand went on to say, "For example, modern music tends to bore me now. It does, of course, contain innovative rhythmic and contrapuntal devices, but without melody, it's lifeblood. It's lifeless, and this helps to dehumanize it. For my part, Melody is a mistress to whom I'll always be faithful. After the Second World War, the U.S. was nostalgic for French culture. Columbia Records commissioned an English-language album of evocative Parisian songs, and the young Legrand was hired to steer it, as none of the big-name American arrangers was interested. He did this work for a mere $200 and no royalties. The result was the acclaimed album I Love Paris. I Love Paris sold extremely well in the States, topping the U.S. album charts in 1954. On this record, Legrand blends 16 songs together into sort of a suite, beginning with church bells chiming in the square and then taking off for a musical journey around the City of Light. The title track, called I Love Paris, is a popular song written by Cole Porter and published in 1953. The song was introduced by Lilo in the musical Can Can. Maurice Chevalier and Frank Sinatra sang it in the film of the same name from 1960. It has been recorded many times as either a vocal or instrumental feature. This hit record had great symbolic significance, revealing Legrand's international potential. The talented 22-year-old did not look back and continued to go from strength to strength in France and abroad. I'd like to sample Legrand's version for you now. It's very reminiscent of this post-war period in Paris. Notice the church bells in this arrangement. This is number one, Please Rolly. This is I Love Paris. I Love Paris, written by Cole Porter and arranged by Michel Legrand from the album of the same name released in 1954 on the Columbia record label. In 1955, Michel Legrand turned his hand to another mode of expression when he wrote the film score Les Amants du Tage by Henri Verneuil. 4 years later, with the advent of French New Wave, he became one of the architects of the revival of French cinema. He began collaborating with Jean-Luc Godard, Agnès Varda, François Reichenbach, and of course, Jacques Demy, his creative alter ego, with whom he invented a new genre of film musical. Legrand went on to compose music for Jacques Demy's films The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, 1964, and The Young Girls of Rochefort, 1966. In fact, Legrand composed some 250 film and television scores, for which he won 3 Oscars and 5 Grammys. The Legrand Jazz Sessions had been organized as a payment of sorts to Legrand, who had not yet been paid for some earlier works that he'd recorded for Columbia. As recompense, the label offered him a New York date at its studios with his choice of repertoire and musicians. Ahead of his recording date, Legrand arrived early in the city to work on completing all of his arrangements before the first session. This would be his chance to impress the creme de la creme of New York's jazz scene. Everybody who was anybody showed up that day, 31 musicians in all. It was the summer of 1958 when Miles Davis arrived at the great New York Temple of Sound, Columbia Records' 30th Street Studios. He hadn't decided whether to take part in recording the first of 3 sessions by a young French composer named Michel Legrand. Legrand was quite popular at the time, having already released some middle-of-the-road Parisian and Brazilian-themed records for the label, the type that Miles would have walked away from in a New York minute. Legrand's charts were as complex as any that Davis cohort jazz arranger Gil Evans had ever penned, maybe even more so. He may have come from a classical music background, but he was an ardent lover of jazz. Legrand recounted their session in June of 58, saying, "Miles was then at the top of New York jazz. Everyone said to me, he'll come to the meeting and stand near the door, keeping his trumpet in his closed case. He'll listen for 5 minutes, and if he likes the music, he will sit down, open his case, and play. If he does not like, he will leave, and he will never again contact you." I was so afraid, I had flare-ups of sweat. I started rehearsing with the orchestra. The door opened, and Miles listened by the door for 5 minutes. Then he sat down, opened his case, and began to play. At the first break, he asked me, "Michel, is my game suitable?" That's how it all began. Miles joined Legrand's orchestra for the very first session on June 25, 1958, playing on early jazz classics such as Fats Waller's Jitterbug Waltz and the Louis Armstrong Jelly Roll Morton classic, Wild Man Blues. This was unusual for the forward-looking musician who rarely recorded older music, but Legrand's arrangements were new and cool. Seeing instruments like the big French harp in the studio, along with jazz heavyweights such as pianist Bill Evans, saxophonists John Coltrane and Phil Woods, vibraphonist Eddie Costa, and bassist Paul Chambers, convinced Miles to participate in this now classic session. I'd like to play a sample from this celebrated album for you. I'm sure this is the first time that I've heard this iconic Thelonious Monk ballad that uses a classical harp in its arrangement. This, combined with the muted trumpet of Miles Davis, makes for a unique reading of this jazz standard called Round Midnight. Miles had recorded his own version of this song on his Roundabout Midnight LP, also on Columbia Records, from 1956, but this is a whole new approach. This is number 2, please, Rolly. This is Round Midnight. Thank you. Round Midnight, as recorded on Le Grand Jazz from 1958. I'd like to skip ahead to get a taste of Le Grand's jazz piano chops, one of the few jazz albums that he created during the period between 1963 and 1977, is this date recorded at Shelly Mann's Hole in Los Angeles. Jazz drummer Shelly Mann was part owner of this club that featured the finest players on the West Coast. He teamed up with Ray Brown on bass and Michel Legrand at the piano. The album Michel Legrand at Shelly Mann's Hole was released in January of 1968. The song that I've chosen is called Ray's Riff, composed by the trio for this date. This is number 3, Please Rolly. This is Ray's Riff. Thank you. tune is called Ray's Riff, featuring Ray Brown on the bass, Shelly Mann on drums, and Michel Legrand at the piano. As I've mentioned, much of Legrand's success came as a result of the several hundred projects that he'd written soundtracks for. These include scores for the Hollywood hits The Thomas Crown Affair from 1968 and The Summer of 42 from 1971. Legrand had a special gift for luscious and vividly atmospheric textures that fit particularly well to music for the classical harp. As we have heard, he featured this sound prominently in orchestral arrangements. In fact, later in his life, in 2014, he composed a one-movement harp concerto commissioned by the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia for his longtime collaborator, Catherine Michel, the leading representative of the great French harp tradition. I'd like to sample a track taken from the score of Summer of 42, as sung by one of my absolute favorite non-jazz vocalists, the remarkable Barbara Streisand. This track, called The Summer Knows, features lyrics by the renowned team of Alan and Marilyn Bergman, frequent collaborators of Legrand. I was interested to hear that this arrangement from Streisand's album uses a classical harp in true Legrand style. This is number four, please, Rolly. This is The Summer Knows.
The summer smiles, the summer knows, and unashamed she sheds her claws. The summer smooths the restless sky, and lovingly she warms the sun which you love. The summer knows, the summer's wise. She sees the doubts within your eyes, and so she takes her summer. It's time to dress for
this song very cinematic. The Summer Knows, as recorded on an album called Barbara Jones Streisand from 1971. In his later years, Legrand remained ready for surprises, even if the world was beginning to treat him as a grand old man. Stars queued up to perform his hits in a celebration at the Louvre in 2000. The French government made him an officer of the Legion of Honor in 2003. Here's a quote from Legrand. When I hit 80, he said, I knew that the last chapter of my work would be classical. So I wrote a piano concerto that I recorded myself, a cello concerto, a harp concerto, and some sonatas. I wrote a huge ballet. I'm very proud of that. It's a good final chapter. He lived his last years as he had lived his earliest ones as a precocious music student in Paris, guided, as he said, by the ambition to live completely surrounded by music. My dream is not to miss out anything. That's why I never settled on one musical discipline. I love playing, conducting, singing, and writing, and in all styles. So I turn my hand to everything, not just a bit of everything. Quite the opposite. I do all these activities at once, seriously, sincerely, and with deep commitment. He finished out his days composing, arranging, and touring, performing 60 concerts across the globe in 2014 alone. I'd like to close with another quote from this exceptional musician. I want to be more aware of what I can do, even if it means going too far. If I want my ship to continue sailing the waves, I must try out new sails and see where they take me. These are certainly words that he lived by. That's my brief look at the life and music of Michel Legrand. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve, for shining a light on Michel Legrand's considerable contributions to jazz. We know he was curious about many styles of music and pursued these with uncommon vitality, composing into his old age. He seems to have been a man who achieved every goal that he set for himself and has left a huge body of work for us to enjoy. We recorded the live presentation in February 2020. This program was made possible by Jazz Yukon, a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched, written, and presented by Steve Gedrose. Live recording by Rolly Mitten. Script edits by David Sillery. Dieter Gade is our producer, and I am Maria Leniak. Thank you for listening.